today on Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely.
God hates divorce, but on that note, He loves divorced people. So don't ever make a divorced person. It's not always their fault. It's not always in their control. Sometimes they're abandoned. Sometimes there's abuse. We don't know all the situations. So because someone has that divorce tag, don't ever label them. That's not the unforgivable sin. We all have mistakes that we've made. We've all done wrong things. Yes, it's called sin. But be very careful being so harsh on people who've gone through that experience. It's painful.
Deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, I want to know you more.
It's no surprise that Satan wants to steal, kill, and destroy us. That's why we need to keep our eyes open. One of the ways that he tries to trip us up is in our marriages. Just look around you. Everywhere you turn, there's something that appeals to the lust of the flesh. But by the power of God's grace, we can have victory over the temptation to sin. Now, make sure and stay with us after Pastor Troy's message. I want to share our contact information with you, as well as how you can receive a free copy of today's broadcast. Now, open your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 29, for the conclusion of our message entitled, Jesus Addresses Adultery and Divorce.
You can't watch television without seeing adulterous relationships becoming normal. They're normal, in and out, and they're justified. Well, he cheated or he did this. Oh, so we're gaining our excuses and our reasonings and our examples now from actors and actresses following scripts that are breathed to life by God? No, by sinful man, portraying to you the images they want to portray. Well, mostly they're portraying to you the images that make the most money. It says, when a society forgets God, one of the first things they begin to pervert is sex. God's intention, however, was that it be used in the context of building up a trust, an openness in a relationship, a committed relationship, a permanent relationship between husband and wife. God's intention was that we get married once and that we get married for life. Now I know I'm speaking to a culture with at least a 50% divorce rate, and that's first-time marriages. Second-time marriages are even at a higher rate because I guess once you go through the process of divorce, it's easier after that. Go to the shopping mall and get your divorce kit, fill it out, and be done with it. It's so easy. People enter marriages today with the idea that, well, if it doesn't work out, we can get divorced. They go in with prenuptial agreements, and in case it doesn't work out, why would you even marry somebody where you feel the sense, I might need to protect myself with a prenuptial agreement? Now, I know why, because you might need it, because there are people who get married for the wrong reasons and they're after things. But if you're led by the Spirit of God into your marriage, God will protect you. And that's where our mistakes are. We're not a people led by the Spirit of God, waiting upon the right person. We want the person that we want to be the right person. I think the Lord's doing this. So we go for it. We tell everyone, yeah, God's in this. Years later, I think the Lord's telling me to get a divorce. Are you telling me that an all-knowing God didn't see all this stuff coming? It's very important that up front we understand and are led by the Lord, because we can get ourselves into some serious messes. Because from God's perspective, if you get into that mess, you can look back and go, well, it wasn't the Lord. He didn't lead us into the marriage. That was me, and so I feel free to get our divorce. God says, no, that's not how it works. Yes, you got yourself into this, and so you're going to have some consequences. But with me, all things are possible. I can still take the things that you meant for yourself, and I can work them out in a way that brings me glory. I want you to hang in there, and I want you to commit yourself, and I want you to follow me. I want you to serve me. and I can work on the heart of this other individual. He wants commitment. So once we're in, you're in because you've taken a vow before the Lord. We need to look at marriage that way. It'll make us think twice about taking that step. Please, please think about it that way. The last thing we need is another two Christians who were walking okay with the Lord, or a Christian who was walking okay with the Lord, and somebody who was just in the church looking for a spouse who's walking with the Lord, to get married, to find out, oh, that other spouse isn't really on board. They just wanted a good catch. They caught you, and now all hell breaks loose in the home. They don't want to go to church. Your call, now you can't perform your call. You can't follow the Lord. Because you have a spouse now who is your first ministry, who takes up too much of your time. And you can't say, hey, I have a calling, follow me, woman, or I have a calling, follow me. You can't do that because now your time and attention must go to your spouse. Paul said, hey, it's better to remain like me. I'm single. I can run around. I can do everything for the Lord. But when you get married, if you can't refrain, you must get married, then you get married, but you have concerns in the home. So you're not as available, you're not as free, unless your home is in order. We need to work on getting our homes in order. The church, leaders in the church, need to have their homes in order. Their wives need to be able to trust them. Their speech needs to be seasoned with salt, but loving. That's a shepherd. That's an overseer. We can't be those coarse, harsh people. Joking in ways the scripture says is questionable. We must be above reproach if you're going to be leading in God's church. The standard's higher. To whom much is given, much more will be required. So, if that's true of those who serve and oversee in the church, what does that say about a Christian who is supposed to be growing and maturing in such a way that they can become someone who instructs others, helps oversee in ministries? It means that we should be going those directions. It's not for the pastor. It's for the maturing believer. Our hearts need to be dealt with. One of the best illustrations I've heard concerning the proper context for intimacy is that of soil in a garden. The soil in our gardens is beautiful, beneficial. It can look pretty nice. You put that nice soil in the garden, it's dark, or there are different color soils now, and you can put those in there, and it's like, wow, look, it adds a backdrop, and it gives nutrients to the soil. But if someone walks through that soil and brings it into your white carpet, it's not as pleasing. We're not so thrilled about it, right? But here's what's gone on in our culture. If you get enough dirt on that carpet, what happens? You stop worrying about the carpet. You stop worrying about the carpet being dirty. Like, take off your shoes? No. You see the carpet? That's staying there. Come on and bring your shoes. Just bring loads of soil and just dump it all over. It's dirty now. Television, movies, the media. All of these things are inundating us with soil, and it's bringing it into our homes and dumping it on our carpet. At first, as a Christian, you go, oh man, I don't know if I should watch that. But then you watch it anyway, and you continue. And ultimately, you're not even thinking about adulterous relationships. You're not worried about it anymore. The soil's on the carpet. It's dirty. It's no big deal. And we see it in the world. And so since we're accepting it now in our minds, in our hearts to some small degree, we begin to lose our sense of right and wrong. Our consciences says, like, they've become seared. It's with a hot iron. Hey, that's wrong. I don't see it as wrong. That's you. Yeah, you're too holy. Sex outside of marriage? No, it says adultery in the scriptures. Yeah, but define adultery for me. There's a problem, and it's a problem in the world. We know that, but it's a problem that creeps into the church. the divorce rate in the church is not quite as high as the same 50-50, but it is almost as high. A healthy marriage begins with a commitment up front on every level. A healthy marriage begins with a respect and a purity in the beginning of that marriage. Because if I will do something with this girl before I'm married to her, outside of the bounds of marriage, then when we're married, what might she think someday? Since that is my standard, outside of marriage, I would do something. But look at the difference now. If I tell this woman, we're going to get married, and I say, you know what? I am reserving my kiss. I'm reserving these things for my wife. I'm going to respect my wife and save these things for her to honor the Lord, to keep myself pure, and to take that into our marriage. What does that say to that person once you get married? I guarantee you, there is a higher level of trust, respect, and everything that goes into that marriage. It's what God wants us to take into the marriage. But we're willing to hang out and get the milk, buy the milk, get the cow, whatever. You're farming, you're doing something, and you're doing it wrong. So, we're farming the wrong way, and then we go, you know, I don't like this cow. I'm going to go over here now to this cow. Not a good thing to call a girl, but but it's what we do. And so we never feel, guys especially, never feel this sense of marriage. Marriage gives a guy cold feet. Marriage? We're talking marriage? I have everything I want now outside of marriage. So the guys get the cold feet. The girls think they've done a good thing. I'm luring him along, you know, making sure it goes the right direction. He might leave me, so I better start opening myself up more to him, to his embrace, to his advances. And so they think they're doing the right thing. They're doing the wrong thing. Because a man who loves you won't do those things. They'll respect you. They'll value you. If it's a godly man and it's going in a godly direction, he will value you because you're God's daughter. And God's always watching. You don't go because you're going to kiss the girl goodnight on the front steps and dad might see. So you do it at the car. When God's the Father, he's like everywhere. He's at the car. He's in the car. He's everywhere. And there would be a purity about us, one that's respectable. Furthermore, verse 31, and this is a statement. It has been said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that whoever divorces his wife for any reason except sexual immorality causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a woman who is divorced commits adultery. We see God's perspective on divorce. The Jews had interpreted Deuteronomy chapter 24, their Old Testament, to mean that they could divorce their wife for just about any reason. I mean, we talked about the oral law. They'd come up with the oral law, a bunch of laws that they talked about the scriptures, and they came up with these conclusions, these ideas about what God did accept and did not accept. And so they came up with oral laws. Rabbi Shammai said that uncleanness in this case was an uncleanness in your wife, referring to a sexual uncleanness. Rabbi Hillel said that uncleanness referred to any displeasing thing at all. If there was anything that seemed unclean to you, like, for instance, you're walking and her hair is down, and that brings shame to you. She should have her hair Your hair is down in public? We're divorced, woman. It's an unclean thing. Or guests are coming over, distinguished guests, no doubt. She fixes something. Maybe she put a little too much salt. It's not perfect. And so because of the embarrassment brought with these distinguished guests, how can I ever live? They're just always going to talk about the meal. Divorce, woman. Those were unclean things. Or he went so far as to say, even if he finds, because she's not keeping herself up, a woman more beautiful than her, that's an unclean thing. So which view do you think that they embraced? Well, the liberal view. We always do. Yeah. So, at this time, they had become a little loose on their idea of divorce. And there was a clash between Jesus and the religious leaders on this very issue, this very heart. They came to Jesus in Matthew chapter 19, and they tested him, saying, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason?" Because they had come to the conclusion that, you know, these were unclean things. "So what do you say, Jesus?" And Jesus basically takes them back to God's ideal. "Have you not read?" And basically said, "Hey, when two become one, what God has joined together, they should not separate. It's not about unclean things, it's about the commitment. God has joined you together, it's a done deal." And then they said, "Well, then why did Moses command us to give a certificate of divorce and put her away?" All right, they've already totally misinterpreted what God had said now. And Jesus replied and said, "Because of the hardness of your hearts, Moses permitted divorce. But in the beginning, it was not so." When couples get married, they often have a picture in their minds of what that marriage is going to be like, which is why it's so dangerous. We have fantasy in our brains when God's not leading us. But we have a picture. Guys, husbands, they envision their wives watching the game with them. They envision their little woman in the jersey of their choice. My favorite player, right there. The old beauty sitting there representing me and everything that I love. Rooting at the game. TV needs to be changed. "Oh, honey, thank you. Do you need anything else?" "Why, sure, that's why I love you so much. Why I got married." And what used to be chips and microwave cheese for your chips, you come out with that. That was the man thing. Marriage, got this dream. Here she comes out in the shirt of your favorite player, and she comes out with the brisket and the ribs. "So, do you want to get married?" "Yes, I do." "No, I'm not confessing what I thought about." But wives, women have a different picture too. "What's my hubby going to be like?" There's just more angelic. Ooh. And at night they're thinking about it. "Well, he's a Romeo. He says the right things. Oh, this man, he works hard at work, puts in all the time, but is available at the drop of a hat for any and every conversation. Any burden in your heart, honey. "Yes, ma'am. Yes, dear. Oh, I love you. Oh, don't worry. The boss has a wife too. He understands you." Okay. And so the women start to think that the husband will be there for everything, that he will be romantic, the cards will continue to come after the dating is over, and that this man will never forget one single significant date ever. Do you remember this spot? Do you remember this spot right here? Guys are like, "I'm in trouble, man." "Was it us? Was it us?" "Yes, it was us." "And you got to not ask me those kind of questions. Don't ever ask me those things. Don't ever ask me if you look big in jeans. Don't ever ask me these things. All I do is get into trouble. Just know I love you. You're perfect." I said it once, and I'll say that every time. But this is the image we have. I know it's not that detailed for every woman or man, but we think it's going to be perfect. And it's going to be far from perfect. And here's why. When couples get married, they marry an imperfect person. The whole reason that marriage exists here on earth, Jesus said there's no marriage in heaven. That's here on earth. They're not given in marriage in heaven. It's here on earth. It's because we are needy. We're needy. So you need. That's why you look for and want and get married. And they need. That's why you... They married you because they have a need too. So marriage in God's eyes and what God told husbands and wives is really ministry. Marriage is ministry. And it's your first ministry. It's two needy people coming together. When you get married and you find out that your wife had a bunch of baggage, I think you know what I'm talking about, emotional things, things she's experienced, hard experiences. When that happens, God knew that. So if God was leading you, you don't say, hey, that's not my baggage. No, no, no. You get it all. You married her. God says, I want you to minister to this woman. I want you to love her. That's why he said, husbands, love your wives. The scripture even says that do it with understanding. Understanding. She's going to have problems. She needs you to care for her. She needs you to listen and understand. She needs you to listen and not fix everything. You're feeling that way? Well, it's easy. Stop doing that. Let's go. Good night. But I find, though I was pleased with the conversation, it can bring a cold shoulder. That's the way you feel. Like, what's wrong? Have you ever experienced that, guys, with your wife? I'm on the guy's side on this one, but you had a normal conversation, you did some things, and all of a sudden, what's wrong with you? Nothing. No, that's not the nothing response. Let me know what's wrong. It's because, guys, we're not spending the time we should, and we're not loving our wives, we're not listening to them. Sometimes they just want you to listen. Practice this one time. Listen to them as long as they want to talk. And don't spit out that answer that's in your brain. Keep it there. Just leave it there. Go to sleep with it. Take it to the Lord. Something. But just leave it there and listen and comment. And I understand. Say that a couple of times in there. I understand. I have the answer too, but I understand. Do that. And you will find that she's going to say, that was a wonderful conversation last night we had. It was so great. And you'll just be amazed. I don't know. That's just weird. So God takes our vows very seriously. And our vow is to love that other person. Read your vows. Do you know what you vowed to each other? Remember those vows. Take, I guess, the traditional vows and say, okay, these were our vows. But if you're going to get married, if you're considering marriage, or those of you who are single, in the future, when marriage comes, be very careful to take your vows seriously. Read over those vows and mean those vows. Because God is your witness, and He takes those vows very seriously. God hates divorce. But on that note, He loves divorced people. So don't ever make a divorced person. It's not always their fault. It's not always in their control. Sometimes they're abandoned. Sometimes there's abuse. We don't know all the situations. So because someone has that divorce tag, don't ever label them. That's not the unforgivable sin. We all have mistakes that we've made. We've all done wrong things. Yes, it's called sin. But be very careful being so harsh on people who've gone through that experience. It's painful. So be loving and compassionate toward those who have gone through divorce. Jesus used the marriage relationship to describe His relationship with us because it's the most personal, committed, deepest relationship that exists, the most bare relationship, open. And that's the kind of relationship He wants to have with you. You can be wide open with the Lord. Things you might not feel like you can tell your spouse or someone else, you can tell the Lord. And He invites that conversation. So go to the Lord. Talk to Him. And where at all possible, if you are married, talk to them about everything you possibly can, because where two become one, there should be no secrets, no hidden agendas. You're one flesh. Everything merges for the rest of your lives.
Deeper and deeper. Deeper and deeper, I want to know You more.
Pastor Troy will pick up where he left off the next time you join us for another study through the Gospel of Matthew here on Building on the Solid Rock. If you live in the San Antonio, Texas area, we want to invite you to join us for worship. The messages that you hear on Building on the Solid Rock are produced from worship services at Calvary Chapel, Solid Rock. Maybe the teaching you heard today is exactly what you're looking for in a church. then please join us. We meet Sundays at 9:30 a.m. and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. For more information about our ministry, including service times and driving directions, log on to our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's buildingonthesolidrock.com. There you will be able to listen to or download any of our messages in their entirety, as well as get to know us better. Well, that's all the time we have for today. We want to thank you for tuning in, and may God richly bless you.
But somehow I survive, and I wonder why. I wonder why. And I look up and see the hand that I turned from when the storm began, and it covers me.